This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities.
Embrace your possibilities.
Possibilities.
Hello there, Andrew Jobling. Welcome to the Wellness Puzzle Podcast for another wonderful week. And I have a returning guest this week. It's the wonderful Stacey Kopass. You may remember, if you've been listening to my podcast since the beginning, episode number 30 with Stacey Kopass. That was a couple of years ago. Wow, a lot has happened in 2 years, that's for sure. A lot has happened around the world. A lot has happened in my life, and certainly a lot has happened in Stacey's life. If you remember, she's an incredibly inspiring lady. She's an author. She's a speaker. She had to overcome an incredibly devastating event at the age of 12 when she dived into a pool and she ended up breaking her neck and drowning, being revived, but ended up a quadriplegic in a wheelchair and has been ever since. And after going through some pretty dark times, as you can imagine, she has come through and is now inspiring and empowering people all around the world. So the first podcast is a good one. This one is just as amazing because we just let it flow and see which direction it takes. And the theme sort of evolved, and that theme was feeling every moment. I'm not going to tell you what that means because you're going to have to listen to the conversation. I do need to apologize in advance that I've had some audio issues, so my audio is not great quality, but please don't let that detract from this fantastic conversation with Stacey Kopass.
Hello, Stace. How are you?
I am very, very fabulous, and I'm excited to be back again for a second round. So thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. It's been way too long. You were one of my very first guests on this podcast. I can't remember what episode it was, but it was early days. It was back in 2020 when the world was gripped by unprecedented times and we all had to pivot.
Oh my gosh, I was listening to it as well and I was laughing about that we'd banned those words and I just love the callback. And it was actually episode 30 in October 2020. And yeah, it was like those were the words that we thought that they were the swear jar of 2020, weren't they?
That's right, they were. It was definitely an interesting time and lots happened. It's been a couple of years now. I mean, that's 2 years ago, effectively. A lot has happened. I'm sure a lot has happened for you. A lot has happened for me. And I thought, Stace, let's do it again. And it's interesting and funny that you and I sitting before I started recording this going, well, what are we going to talk about? And you said, I don't know. What are we going to talk about? And I said, well, let's just wing it. So we are currently freestyling here, everyone that's listening. We have no idea where this is going to go. But I know that because I'm talking to Stacey Kopass extraordinaire, I know this podcast is going to go places it needs to go, that is going to impact lives. I have absolute confidence in that. Why don't we start here? I think starting here is always a good place to start. Just for people that don't know or maybe haven't heard your first podcast or don't know who Stacey Kopass is, shame on you if that's you and you don't know who Stacey Kopass is. She's an author. She is an incredible, inspiring speaker. She's been through an event or a tragedy or a trauma in her life that no one should ever have to go through. And she's had to live with that for, I don't know, what is it now, Stace? Is it 30 years?
32 years this year.
Wow. And it's amazing how I look at this incredible, bright, beautiful face looking back at me. No one would ever know talking to you that you'd been through what you've been through and that you're in a wheelchair and that life at one point was not really probably worth living for you. I'm sure there was many thoughts of taking your life and ending it, and you haven't, and thankfully, because you're a gift to the world. So why don't you just give us a very quick, let's not spend too much time there, but just for people that don't know your story, just give us the pricey version of what happened to you when you were 12 years old.
So back at 12, I was a pretty unusual 12-year-old in that I had really clear direction on where I was wanting my life to go. And I was completely on track with it at that point. All I wanted to do was be a vet. I'd just gotten into a selective agricultural high school. So that was the big tick. I was a pretty talented athlete. I was the pitcher in the softball team, first girl to play soccer for the school, representative runner every distance from the 100 meters right through to the cross country. And just pretty normal family life, you know, good friends. So yeah, really in a really good, great place. Yeah, unfortunately, that all went out the window when I actually broke my neck and drowned in a relative's backyard swimming pool on the first weekend in summer back in 1990. And being told that I'd never walk again, for somebody that was as active and independent and motivated and driven as myself, did feel like a death sentence at the time. Spent the, you know, most of my teenage years in a pretty deep, dark place, but I didn't let on to the outside world that I was in a deep, dark place. I was really good at the nothing to see here, getting on with life. Yeah, the reality was is that, you know, I would have given anything to have, you know, either turned back the clock and not taken the dive, or to had not been around at all. And, you know, with the benefit of hindsight and, you know, 30 years in between, I realized that while I'd physically drowned once, emotionally I was drowning for years. And thankfully I didn't check out.
Thankfully.
And that I'm here to, here to tell the story of, you know, how I did reverse engineer my life, how I got from a point where I didn't think life was worth living and I didn't think that I had any value or there was any point in being around, to now where I, you know, travel the world as a keynote speaker, helping people to become resilient and to embrace the opportunities and the possibilities that come with adversity, uncertainty, and change.
Yeah. Wow. And if you want to hear that story in more detail, you need to go to episode number 30. And listen to Stacey, and she'll go into more detail. But I think what one thing you said there, Stacey, and I think if we probably even just reflect over the last couple of years, you said you can't turn back the clock. You wished you could turn back the clock, but you can't. And I think every one of us thinks about moments in our life, certainly not as devastating as the one you went through, but things we say, things we do, or things we wish we'd said and things we wish we'd done. And we wish that we could turn back the clock, but we can't turn back the clock. And that is what it is. You know, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just the reality of life. So when did you finally come to that realization, well, I can't turn back the clock, I can't change the past, I can't get out of this wheelchair, I'm still going to have a broken back, I'm still going to be quadriplegic?
Yes.
What was that moment for you when you thought, right, this is my life now, I've just got to live it and do the best I can do and make the most of it?
It's not a specific moment that I can remember that happened. It was more of a gradual process. And it came to the point where it was a matter of going, look, I can't change what's happened, but I can change the story I tell about what happened, most importantly to myself. And what I can do is I can change what I do next. I have complete control of this point forward. And so it came down to the power of personal responsibility with that. You know, it's a matter of going, I'm taking complete ownership of this. And it's one of those things we've heard it. So I said, yeah, your past doesn't determine your present or your future. And we're in situations where, you know, any moment that we can change things in a heartbeat. And just as my life changed at the time, what I saw was a negative. But now I see the accident as probably one of the most important things that's ever happened in my life. And I can say with absolute certainty that I've had the most incredible experiences in those last almost 32 years that I would never have had my life taken the path that I was intending.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the last podcast, choosing gratitude, didn't we?
Yes.
And choosing to be grateful, even though the situation may not look like something to be grateful for. Like, what is there to be grateful about sitting in a wheelchair with a broken back and being a quadriplegic? There can't be anything to be grateful for, except when you stop and reflect and think about lives you can impact. When you think about, and I know we spoke a lot about mindfulness, we spoke a lot about the moment, you talked a lot about sitting and just enjoying the wind blowing in the trees and the leaves and all that beautiful stuff that's there for every single one of us if we just stop and look at it. And you can choose gratitude even in the darkest of times, or you can find gratitude when you get to that point of reflection. And I think that was such a critical message in the last podcast. So, Stace, what I want to ask you is, since that time, and that's a couple of years ago now, so we're now mid-2022 as we're having this conversation, and we were then probably mid-2020, what are you doing differently? How's your message changed? Because you're now doing a lot of speaking and you're now in the process of writing another book. Is that correct?
I am in the process of writing the second book. The process has been an awful lot longer than I intended it to be, but that happens. It's one of those things we definitely underestimate how long some of these things take, and also this the process of it, realizing that writing a book isn't so much about, you know, massive flows of inspiration. It's more about the actual discipline of putting your butt in front of the the keyboard on a consistent basis and treating it like any other job, which isn't as glamorous as what I guess most people would perceive the process of writing to be. It's actually incredibly frustrating and boring and annoying. And then you do get these moments where things just flow, and then, but they're the few and far between things. So we can't just rely on those. If we just relied on those, then a book would never get finished.
Well, nothing would get finished, would it? Because there's nothing that we ever achieve that is glamorous in the journey. Like, if you want to be healthy and fit and lean, it's yucky, horrible, ugly, painful. If you want to have good relationships, there's going to be conflict. If you want to build a business, there's going to be frustration and rejection. Whatever, the process is always messy. So what's keeping you going through that process?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I first, particularly with the book, when I went into the book project, I did a 12-month program with Neil Strauss. So Neil Strauss, who wrote the Motley Crue biography, the Marilyn Manson biography, Kevin Hart's biography, The Truth, The Game, and a stack of other books, Emergency, former editor of Rolling Stone magazine. And so I had an opportunity to join a small group of writers to do a 12-month intensive with Neil. And I thought, at the time, my intention was to write a book working title Resilience Rocks, which was a bit of a homage to the role that music has played in my resilience journey. But once I sort of got into it, I just realized I felt too confined by that. And Neil was like, no, just not feeling this. So it evolved into just a memoir, because my first book, How to Be Resilient, as it says on the can, How to Be Resilient. Yeah, it's a how-to, and it was little snippets of my story, but it wasn't my complete journey. So, yeah, I'm in the midst of writing a memoir. At the time when I went into that, I was looking at it from a business perspective. But through the process of working with Neil, I've realised that the book is for me more than anything now, and I've realised it's quite a therapeutic process of writing. I'm realising that I'm actually feeling and experiencing things that I never felt when they actually happened. I realized with now looking back on all these things is I was so quick to just, okay, that's happened, move on. What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? And so what has evolved in how I speak about resilience since we spoke 2 years ago, and from the benefit of having some external forces making us sit and do nothing for a while over these last couple of years, is I've realized how important it is to actually feel every moment, to really experience the full range of emotions and feelings and sensations that come with the experience of being human. And I'm realizing that I hadn't done that very well for most of my life. I was very good at, as I said, yep, that's done, taking the hit, let's move, let's move, let's move, let's move. And I never really was that still. So that's been a really big thing for me, is it's like, it's not saying you sit there forever and you just sit in this little experience or this feeling. It's like, okay, you spend time with the feeling. And once you've experienced that feeling and you use it as feedback, then you continue on and you use that as feedback that can help inform what's your next action and your next path. So that's been a little bit of an added part to my speaking about resilience from the process of writing the book. And that's been good. I'm spending a lot more time in stillness. Earlier this year, I did happen to get that catchy bug that's been going around, that's been a problem for the last couple of years. And so that was, again, forced me to sit and do nothing for a couple of weeks. And ever since then, I spend an hour every day in complete silent meditation that I wouldn't have done had I not been forced to do that for a while. So it's these things. It's like these experiences we have and these situations we have that seem so negative at the time, there's incredible gifts that come from them, and they wouldn't have come from any other experience if we hadn't had it. So that's been a bit of the evolution. Now that we're sort of, people keep talking about post-pandemic. I really don't know that we're really post anything yet. I think the biggest issue right now is the state of the economy, and there's inflation, an impending recession. There's a lot of things that are going on that are external that are creating a lot of fear. And again, the big thing is uncertainty for people. So I'm sort of evolving a little bit there as far as, it only just came to me through a couple of conversations in the last 24 hours that I'm going to do some work on getting people's resilience recession ready, because I think that the better prepared we are mentally to go into these even probably more challenging times than we've even been through in the last 2 years, the better prepared people are going to be, the better experience people will have. And to help people see that some of the best opportunities are going to come from the darkest times.
They are indeed. Now, Stace, this is incredible. We're going to have a quick break and then we're going to come back, all right? Because I was just going, when am I going to stop her? I can't stop her now because she's spouting amazing wisdom. But let's have a quick break and we'll come back.
The shedding of tears after a significant achievement, a meaningful moment or purposeful pursuit is an indication of the powerful emotional joy we all strive for in our lives. What if there was a process for personal transformation that could lead to regular tears of joy moments? In Tears of Joy, Andrew Jobling provides the simple steps that will predictably lead to many meaningful moments of significance, achievement, and well-being. This book offers a sure and certain pathway to transformation that lasts. To purchase Tears of Joy or any of Andrew's other books, go to andrewjobling.com.au.
There's a couple of great things, Stace, and you've set this podcast up as I knew you would. See, I don't have to do any thinking here. I just got to get great guests and let them do all the hard work, which I love. So I love the feel every moment. And that's important for every single person because, as you said, we are all human beings and we all experience feelings and emotions and uncertainty. And I do remember a wonderful quote from you, and I have used this, when nothing is certain,
anything is possible.
There you go. And that turns uncertainty into excitement. That turns anxiety into empowerment. That one thought will flip emotion in a heartbeat, just like that. And I think that's awesome. And particularly as you talked about this resilience going into recession, because what is the biggest challenge with recession? And it's not financial.
No, it's the fear that comes with it. And it's overwhelmingly, it's the uncertainty. This is the common theme. And if anything, the last 2 years has almost been training wheels. I think the training wheels for what we're heading into now.
Here's the deal. How often do we have a recession? Is it every 12 years, every 13 years? I mean, there's some cycle that the world goes through. And it was 2008 when the GFC hit. It's now 2022. So that's 14 years. So irrespective of COVID, we're due for a recession. We're due for some kind of economic downturn. It just happens. That's just financial cycle. And one of the things that compounds depression, recession, GFC, whatever you want to call it, is emotion, is people reacting. You hear the story of all of a sudden they start panic selling their shares because they start dropping in value. So they start panic, oh, I've got to sell, rather than going, okay, well, this happens all the time. This is just a cycle. I just got to ride it. And that's life, isn't it? When you're going through the storm, and that's the emotion. I love what you said about feeling every moment and using that emotion because it is feedback. Let's just go there for a little bit, Stace, because I think this is a really important point. Let's talk about feeling every moment and tell us, in your words, what is emotion?
Yeah, emotion is, it's against that, it's the feeling. It's what happens to us on the inside. It's what happens inside our minds that has us then have a physical response, is how I experience it. And I think the biggest problem that we experience as human beings is that we just spend so much time being human doings instead of just taking the time to be. And the with emotions and feelings is that it's not wrong to feel anything. It's the judgment that we have of the feelings that we have is where the problem comes in. So it's a process of, it's actually recognizing the feeling, putting a label to it. And sometimes it can be, and go a little bit deeper. So sometimes it can be, okay, I feel sad, but go deeper than that. Like, okay, well, what specifically, is it just sadness or is it something more specific? But, and also not having, and not justifying it. Because I think this is the thing, is sometimes we stop and we'll go, okay, yeah, I feel sad. But rather than just sitting there and experiencing the feeling of being sad for a little while, we're so quick to go, oh, these are all the reasons why I feel sad and this is how I need to fix it.
Yeah.
So if we actually just take the time to experience it, feel it, and the quicker we actually feel the full strength of an emotion, the quicker it passes. Whereas if we are very quick to move on, it's always in our backpack. So it's like the backpack gets heavier and heavier and heavier until you get to the point where the backpack flattens you.
Yeah, you fall over. Well, you fall backwards or it falls on top of you. Yeah. Absolutely. So true. And that's where baggage is, isn't it? Baggage is not our experiences. Baggage is our interpretation or our judgment of those experiences. And when it's something we feel like, well, I shouldn't feel this way, I'll stuff it in the backpack. I shouldn't be angry, or I better stuff that away, or I shouldn't feel anxiety or fear. That's bad. Then we stuff it away and pretend everything's okay. Whereas all it is, and this is what you said earlier, and what I understand emotion to be, is just your body trying to tell you stuff. It's feedback. It's your body going, hey, I've got some really cool information if you're willing to listen to me. If that's the case, every emotion is incredibly valuable. If you take the time to sit there, listen to it, okay, I'm feeling this, it's okay. I'm allowed to feel this. I'm human. Why am I feeling this? And can I potentially look at it from a different perspective, or how do I solve it or change it? Or so we can use emotion in a very positive way.
Yeah, it's totally that. And it's and not feeling that you need to rush to the why am I feeling this way, and not having to rush to the what do I do to fix it. But yeah, if you feel it fully, then you move through it. It all becomes energy, and the energy moves through us the quicker that we actually sit with it and really listen to it. And that's why I love that I spend the time in silent meditation every day now. Like, I never thought I'd be able to do that. But to just listen, not to try and empty the mind, which I think a lot of people have a misinterpretation of what meditation is. People think that meditation is about making your mind go empty and quiet. You know, it's not that. It's listening. And it's just incredible what can come up with that.
And there's a lot in there. There's so much stuff in our brain, isn't there? If we just took the time to listen to it, you'd probably get some incredible insights about yourself, first and foremost.
It's fascinating, but we don't stop to listen to it because it's uncomfortable. A lot of the time it's uncomfortable. A lot of these emotions and feelings they can be unpleasant in the short term. So what people reach for is something to numb that. They'll reach for a drink. They'll reach for food. They'll reach for their phone. They'll reach for anything to quieten that voice.
Distract them, distract the TV. Yeah.
Whereas if you actually just allowed that to speak to you, it said, take the feedback, move on, and you're lighter.
Here's the problem, Stace, that I see, and that is society, and our good-meaning people, it's always, oh, it's okay, you'll be all right, you'll get through it, don't worry. And it's coming from a good place from a lot of people. Don't let it worry you. Let's go and do something that makes you smile. You've got all these beautiful, well-meaning people that try to move you too quickly through that. So you never, ever get to benefit from being in that feeling and spending time in that feeling to really get what it's telling us. I've just had a revelation right now. That's awesome.
That's great. And it's interesting because I was totally guilty of living that way myself for the majority of my life.
I think most people would relate to that. We've got to get over it. I don't have time to be sad. I don't have time to be unhappy. I can't be depressed. I can't be anxious. I've got to get through it. I've got to stuff it down, stuff, get back on with our lives. I've got things to do and people to see and things to create and all that stuff. And then people wonder why at some point they just dissolve into a heap and they can't get out of bed. We've just got to be human.
Totally being human. And the other thing too there is it's around the process of experiencing the feelings. It's also how we describe it as well, because so often people will say, I am sad, or I am anxious, or I am angry, rather than I am feeling angry, I am feeling sad, or I am feeling anxious. So not taking on the identity of being those things. A feeling is a passing thing, whereas if you go, I am this, then you are,
it's a label.
Owning it. This is me. This is part of me. I'm like, no, it's an experience.
And the other thing, yeah, exactly. And the other mistake we all make is saying, well, I'm angry because of COVID, or I'm anxious because I'm not sure if my job is stable. And we blame our emotion on things and people and circumstances rather than going, I'm responsible for how I feel because of how I look at something and my perception of what it is, the filter with which I'm looking through it. And it's about taking responsibility for that emotion as well as saying, I'm feeling this, it's mine, I'm feeling it, that's good. I'm glad I'm feeling it because I can learn from it.
Yeah, it's totally true. There is that element of it's always, if people come back to this, oh, it's always something else and it's always out there. It's the easiest thing to do is to blame it on somebody else. What it comes down to it is we are responsible for our own feelings. We are responsible for how we experience any situation. And two people can be looking at the exact same thing and have an entirely different experience of it. So it comes down to how you choose. And it is a choice. People sort of go, oh, no, but you don't know that this person made me feel this way. I'm like, no, they didn't. You chose to respond in that way.
You chose to look at it from that perspective. You chose the view. You chose the thought that led to the emotion.
Yes.
And for a lot of people listening to this, they're going, that's rubbish. You don't know what you're talking about. But when you get past that resentment that you're feeling right now for hearing what Stacey and I are saying, you realize it's incredibly freeing because it means, yes, you are responsible for how you feel, but that can change your life. Because if you know that you're responsible for how you feel, you can harness emotion to move you towards what you want. If you know that you, your thoughts and your perspective can lead you to anxiety, anger, fear, resentment, bitterness, then in a heartbeat, based on your perspective, you can move it to excitement, empowerment, determination, desire, which will move you towards what you want. That is exciting. I'm excited.
It's totally exciting. And again, it's just, I've heard it said before, you know, the only difference between fear and excitement is breath.
I like it. You've got just a bag full of quotes, haven't you? Just inspiring quotes, Stace. You should write a book of inspiring quotes.
Oh, it's a quote-a-thon.
That's incredible, Stacey. So this is a big one because, I mean, emotion is one of those things that we just feel it. We feel it. I feel anger. I don't necessarily know what caused that anger. I just know I'm feeling it. I'm feeling anxiety. I mean, I've woken up for most of my life with anxiety and never knowing where it's coming from because it's this unconscious thought. So you're talking about feeling every moment. How do we effectively use that moment to move us closer towards joy, happiness, love, fulfillment, the things that we want in our life? What are some easy steps for people? Well, they're not easy, but simple steps for people.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is well, as you're feeling, if you're feeling a particular way, it's being conscious of, is this a feeling that is empowering or disempowering? You know, if it's a feeling that's empowering, it's like, well, why try and stop it? You know, and then that's something that it's positive and it's lifting you and it's making you feel light and energized and inspired. And, you know, if you can then start to take inspired action as a result of that, that's amazing. On the flip side, if it's an experience where, you know, some of the things we've talked about here about anger, frustration, resentment, anxiety, any of those things, and, you know, we sit with it for a while. And again, if it's really doesn't feel like it's going to budge, then one of the things that I find that's really helpful is movement. It's actually moving. It's whether it's some exercise, whether it's just, you know, just a walk, whether it's getting outside and moving. One of the things that I do, and it's one of my rituals, is I have a playlist of songs I would probably describe best as the combination of 80s, 90s pop and daggy disco.
Oh, I love it.
It's perfect. So what I do is I stick my headphones on and I just do a shuffle play. And I just dance like an absolute idiot. It's a, yeah, they would say dance like no one's watching. That's exactly what you do. And you just throw all of that energy that is eating you up from inside and you throw it into actual movement, start to dispel some of that energy. And it changes the vibration of your body. It changes your physiology completely, releases the endorphins and does all those sort of things. You know, and if you sing along with it as well, then you're getting more of that oxygen flow through the body as well. So I find that, you know, sitting with it and then shifting that into movement. So it's all about, you know, emotion against energy. You know, if you look at it, energy and motion. So if we can start to move that energy, that can be helpful. The other thing I find incredibly helpful is writing.
Yeah.
I intentionally write a journal every night before I go to bed. And I've done that every night for, what are we up to now, 7 years? I haven't missed a night. But if I'm having a time where I'm feeling particularly overwhelmed or frustrated or any of those things at any time of the day, I will grab my phone and I will write into that journal. Just I'll write exactly how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Write what's worrying me. And sometimes it's the internal dialogue externalized. And I will write. Sometimes it'll be like, why were you such an idiot? And how you reacted in that moment. I had one of these the other night. It was like something happened with my boyfriend and I was really annoyed with something he did. So I then got up to go to the bathroom at 4 o'clock in the morning and I found myself sitting in the bathroom and I was there for an hour writing. And I was sort of writing the whole process of what happened in that, the lead up to that. And then I started to deconstruct just through the process of writing where I'd responded in a way that I did not feel happy, comfortable, or proud of. And so I was able to acknowledge that, do all that, hop back into bed. And then when we got up the next day, I had a really long chat and I was able to share then, okay, this is what bothered me around what happened. This is where, you know, I didn't feel that I was heard or these type of things. Then I'm not proud of how I reacted. It was not fair on you. And then I was able to just share that. But I needed that process of actually feeling it and then writing it and then reading it back. And oh my goodness, sometimes just the process of writing something down and reading it back, you just go, oh my gosh, how trivial is this? But if we keep brewing it and brewing it and brewing it and brewing it.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. That really is. Writing does do that, doesn't it? Because yeah, and then you read it and it's almost like you're someone else reading it, going, what is wrong with this person? Why are they reacting this way? Oh, it's me.
Yes.
Get over it, dude.
Yeah. But every time that happens, it helps then for the next time that you experience a similar situation, you've got a different perspective and you've got some different tools and you've got some different experience on board. And then each time we then encounter something that could be similar, then we're in a better space to be able to handle it better and respond better rather than just react.
Beautiful. Let's have another quick break, Stace. We'll be back.
Running a personal training or group fitness business usually means hours organizing bookings, answering missed messages, and chasing payments. Until you discover the Fitty Trainer app. Fitty becomes the heart of your fitness business by driving your sales. Fitty gets you paid faster, helps maintain your clients, and simplifies arranging bookings by automating everything. Let Fitty focus on your business health so you can focus on your clients. Visit fitty.com to download or schedule a live demo.
So, you just said something just then. Your book coach said something to you. Can you just repeat that?
Yeah, we were talking about if we overplan things, whether it's planning a conversation like this, and I related it to the experience of writing my book and the experience with my coach, Neil. And Neil had said very early on in the process, and it did come up a lot, that if you end up writing the book exactly as you plan it, it would be a really shit book.
Yeah, I love that. It was
pretty much get out of the way, let the book write itself through you.
And I think there's a real link there to what we're talking about. Just live it, feel the emotion, don't script how you need to handle stuff. And I think a lot of people have this expectation of how they handle conflict and how they handle stress and how they handle life. This is my 5-step process to work through this. And it doesn't work because people don't know their lines. People don't know what your plan is. So people don't react the way you want them to. I've had so many times in my head where I've got a tough conversation to have and I've got it totally planned out, what I'm going to say, what they're going to say, what I'm going to say, what they're going to say, and it's going to be a beautiful ending. And I say the first thing, they say something, and I said, haven't you read your lines? Didn't I send you the script? That's not what you're supposed to say. And all of a sudden it spirals into this horrible conflict that makes the situation worse. So I thought that was an awesome little quote. You can't script everything. Life is life and things happen and people are different. And the most consistent thing about people is they're inconsistent. The most consistent thing about you and me is we're inconsistent. And that's the beauty of life.
It is. It's beautiful. And that's the thing. I think it's important to have intention. It's important to have some sense of direction, but not having a high level attachment to it.
Yeah. Now, what we're talking about emotion, because you're talking that I'm taking pages of notes here. Oh, there's so much stuff we've got to talk about. This is awesome. Ah, we'll probably run out of time. Who cares? That'll be part 3 that we'll have to do again, Stace. But I think it's important to understand when we're talking about emotion and feeling every moment, and we're talking about all emotions good, all emotions feedback, all emotion gives us direction, all emotion, you said it's energy in motion, which I love that. It is. However, it's important to understand that there is a mind-body connection. There's a physiological effect of emotion on our body. It's either going to enhance us and strengthen our physical well-being. and I talk a lot about this. I spoke a lot about this in my book, The Wellness Puzzle. Off the back of that book, I started this podcast, and I talk a lot about the impact of emotion on our body. It's either going to strengthen or it's going to destroy our immune system. It's either going to increase longevity or decrease longevity. It's going to have an effect on our DNA and our brain health and all sorts of stuff. So it's important to know that whilst you don't want to judge emotion like anxiety, fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, you don't want to judge it, but you don't want to live there.
Yeah, that's totally the thing.
I just want people to know, because I just don't want people sitting there going, well, it's okay to be angry. I'm just going to be angry because that's okay because Stacey said I can be angry. No, she didn't say you can be angry. She said you don't need to judge anger. You need to use anger and understand the thoughts that are leading you to anger, but you do not want to stay in anger. You don't want to stay in any of those emotions that are unhealthy, because they are unhealthy over the long term. Short term, learn from them, incredibly healthy. Long term, stay there, dwell in them, live in them. It's going to destroy your life. Trust me. And I know that because it's destroyed a lot of my life, a lot of my relationships, financially, and a lot of things. I just want to say that because that's important. So your strategies about energy and motion and movement was an awesome one. And I just want to give another quick example. Tantrums. Your tantrum is like dancing. I did a little spot on Weekend Sunrise a few weeks ago, Stace, all about why tantrums are healthy. A controlled tantrum is healthy. It's like that dance as if no one's watching. Sometimes if you've got this pent-up that we all have, sometimes you've just got to let it out. And a good old-fashioned, not a smashing stuff, not a violent tantrum, but a jump up and down, scream and yell in the privacy of your own home for a controlled period of time to let it all out, I believe is a healthy thing to do. Again, keep it short, keep it sharp, get over it. Because what you find is it's the same thing, Stace, whether you go for a run or you go and hit a heavy bag or you do your dancing at the end of that. You've released that and there's amazing clarity that comes with that. And all of a sudden you can go, okay, what am I going to do now? How do I fix this? How do I solve this? And all of a sudden ideas will come to you and you've got some solutions in front of you. So that movement, I think, is a really, really critical one. And the writing, awesome as well.
Yeah. Anything? And the good thing is, as you said there, once we've got rid of that pent-up emotion and that energy, then when that calmness, that stillness and the clarity comes, then you can make good decisions. One of the biggest things that's come up a lot in the conversations I've been having over the last couple of years is that in business and in life, to never make a decision in a heightened negative emotional state. Our brains do not have the capacity to make quality decisions when all of the resources are being drained away from our brains to keep the body alive in that fight or flight. And so the big thing is to find what strategies work for you. Everyone's going to be different. Have a few of them. Have a bit of a toolkit. You've got a toolkit. You don't use every tool for every job, but you can have a selection of tools and you'd pick it for the appropriate job. Have some of these in your pocket. And then when an experience comes, we'll go, okay, is this a time to move? Is this, sometimes you might not be able to because you're in a public place. That'd be a good time for some really, really deep controlled breathing, or put your headphones on and listen to something that's going to calm you. But get to the place where you've gotten past the heightened emotional state before you make decisions. That's a huge thing. As you said, with that space, then the ideas, the resources, and all of that stuff will come. And then that's a better place to make a decision on what the next action is going to be is.
Yeah. I was just thinking while you're talking about in a public place, because that's not the place to have a tantrum. It's not the place to start punching stuff. But go and do something for someone. Go and pay for someone's coffee. Go and help someone with something. All of a sudden, it's amazing how doing something for someone will very quickly change your emotional state, because now you're not thinking about you. You're thinking about someone else.
Yes. And so often when you help somebody else with their problems, you end up solving your own inadvertently. And it's actually a chapter in my first book. And you know, the theme was, the principle was around expand. And it's like, expand the world of others, help others, do these type of things. And by doing that, you take the focus off yourself, you help somebody else. And there's so many benefits to doing that.
For sure. Well, what a jam-packed podcast this has been, Stace. It's been wonderful, really. Like, we had no idea at the start where this was going to go, and it went exactly where it needed to go. And I really believe right now, because people say we're post-pandemic, we're not. And even if we were, we're about to go into recession potentially. And even if we weren't going to go into recession, something's going to happen. And this is not being negative. This is just world, right? Like every single day, some kind of challenge, some kind of adversity, some kind of conflict is going to happen in your life and my life. That's just the world around us. And the people who tend to live the happiest, healthiest, most prosperous lives are not the ones that avoid challenges, are the ones that are able to feel every moment and not judge their feelings and understand that this is part of the human experience. And they spend that time just in reflection and they do some stuff to release some of that emotion. They get clarity. They go, okay, what's the best considered decision now? What do I do now? And they simply move forward. And if you can practice that, and I think for a lot of people, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? And the best place to do it is start with some little niggle. Someone's going to say something probably today or tomorrow. They're not going to make you angry, but you're going to feel anger or irritation as a result of that. Use that time to practice some of the stuff that Stacey's talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And it is practice. This is the thing about resilience and the way that I like to share it with people is that resilience is a proactive thing. It's the thing we need to have before we need to use it. And it's these little practices and rituals that we do on a consistent basis that build it up. And I guess one more thing to add on that before we wrap this sort of train of thought is if there are things that you know that do irritate you or frustrate you or start to get you having some of those experiences of anger and they're avoidable, then avoid them. And one of those is the news. It's the thing that is designed to try and provoke anger and frustration and fear and all those type of things. You don't have to know what's going on out there in the world. You can't control any of it. And if it's going to send you into a bit of a death spiral of negative emotion, cut it out.
Yep.
So restrict your access to that sort of stuff. And that combined with the practices and the stuff that we've just shared, it's going to set you up really, really well to be able to really embrace uncertainty, challenges, adversity, and the all the changes that are now and ahead.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I know that challenges lots of people. What do you mean, stop watching the news? How will I know what's going on in the world? Well, I did this long time ago now. It's probably close to 20 years ago. I stopped watching the news. And I thought the same thing. Well, how am I going to know what's happening in the world? Don't worry. Someone's going to tell you. Did you hear about this? Did you know that? What do you think about this? And I was like, I don't know. Thanks for telling me. Now I know. You know, but most of the stuff, as you said, most of the stuff you hear on the news, you don't need to know. It's just going to create feelings of anxiety, fear, uncertainty. So that's a good thing to remove and replace it with podcasts and reading and associating with people that are going to uplift you and support you and challenge you in a positive way. And I know a great book to read. It's called Resilient by Stacey Kopass. And I know a wonderful podcast to listen to while you're listening to it. Have you got a podcast, Stace? You need to do one.
This is an interesting one. I've been talking about doing a podcast for the last 5 or 6 years. Good. And I've been on it's probably hundreds of other people's podcasts by now. The early stages of the pandemic, I actually recorded 5 episodes and then I got too self-critical about it and then I never did anything with it. So the episodes never saw the light of day and I just sort of thought, no, I'm not really feeling this, so I never released them. So the podcast hasn't happened yet, but I did an interview late last night for an American podcast, doing an interview with you today. I love having conversations with interesting people. So, and now that I've got a beautiful studio set up where I'm not, you know, in my parents' spare room anymore than as I was for a number of years when I first started recording the last lot, then I think that perhaps a recession-ready resilience might be a good thing to tackle moving forward.
I think it is definitely a good thing to do moving forward, and I want to encourage it. I love doing the podcast because I get to sit here and listen every week. I get to talk to incredible people and learn stuff. How cool is that? And put it out to the world. And I don't have to be the magic. I don't need to have all the answers. I just need to facilitate a conversation and then edit. I love editing. People go, oh, isn't editing painful? No, I love it because I get to listen to it over and over again and I re-embed the stuff. You know, it's awesome. And then I love putting it out there and hearing what other people say and the impact that it has on other people's lives. And it's pretty amazing. Anyway, Stace, we're going to have to wrap it up. It's been a wonderful conversation. So you've got a book called Resilient. You are an international speaker. You're a coach. You're coaching people?
I do. It's not a part of my business that I've actively built, but if people come to me and they would like to work one-on-one, I work with people one-on-one as they come to me. So,
okay. So how do I find you?
Well, you can just punch Stacey Kopass into Google and you will find plenty to keep you amused. But no, the website or LinkedIn is probably the best place to reach out to me. LinkedIn or Instagram are the socials that I'm most active on. But yeah, the website, stacykopass.com, is the best place to find me. I look after my socials, so you send a message there, you'll get me directly.
Stace, thank you. Wonderful, incredible, fabulous to see that smiling face. Unfortunately, people listening don't get to see your face. I'm so glad I get to see that smiling face. The smile brightens up the room. So thanks for brightening up my room, Stace, and I know this podcast is going to brighten up lots of lives. So thank you very much for being part of it.
Thank you.
What a wonderful conversation that was with the fabulous Stacey Kopass. Feeling every moment. There's so much power and emotion, and often we judge it, we run from it, we hide it, we stuff it down, we try and avoid it. But if you can actually feel it and spend some time there, as uncomfortable as it might be, it's the best thing you can do. And I really want to encourage you to try it. When you start feeling some kind of emotion, rather than avoid it, we tend to really want to live in joy, don't we, or gratitude or whatever. But when it's fear maybe, or it's anger, we want to try and run from it. So I really want to encourage you, as Stacey spoke about today, what can you learn from it? What kind of feedback is it giving you? How can it help you? Spend some time in the feeling. Wonderful. If you would like to find out more about Stacey Kopass or reach out to her to get some guidance and help, you can do that. Simply go to her website, which is stacykopass.com, and she's there to help you at any stage. I want to thank Pietro and the team at Fitti for sponsoring the podcast. They do a wonderful job helping me get my message out to the world, as well as helping people get moving, get happy, get healthy, and live their best life. So thanks, Fitti. Again, I apologize for the quality of my audio. I'm not going to tell you why it's like that, because it's very, very embarrassing, but it won't happen again. So I hope you'll be back with me next week for better quality audio. I hope you'll be back with me next week for a wonderful new guest. And I hope you have a fabulous week and look forward to being with you again next week. My name's Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.